When Pete Gent's novel North Dallas 40 came out 30 years ago, critics and other readers made a point of trying to match each character in the book with a real-life Dallas cowboy. Mr. Gent had played for the Cowboys during some of their first glory years in the early 1960s. It was irresistible to compare him with the novel's protagonist, receiver Phil Elliott, played by Nick Nolte in a 1979 movie adaptation. The book's quarterback, Seth Maxwell, seemed a lot like Dandy Don Meredith, and the cursing, God-fearing coach resembled the purse-lipped Tom Landry. This year, North Dallas 40 has been reissued as a sport classic book and can be read anew as a novel about gifted, intense, and vulnerable men put into a pressure cooker of competition, mortality, and morality. Pete Gent, who has written six novels since, joins us now from the studios of member station WMUK in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Mr. Gent, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
You've written a new introduction to this book, which raises the question, what's changed, what stays the same?
Well, I think what stays the same is the intensity of the experience. What changes is when you're 60 and you wrote a book when you were 29, you realized in the intervening years that not only was it as intense and terrifying and sometimes just as awful as possible, but there were very few things in your life after that that were as exciting or as intense. It's the only thing I can compare it with is men who are in combat together. They survived it. They wouldn't take anything for the experience, but they sure wouldn't do it again, you know. It's the way I've always felt about football. I would do it, but I wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, Mr. Gent, I was struck in reading the introduction to this book. One of the things that really seemed to touch you is your vintage of football players. These are men in their late 50s and early 60s. Are, if I may be this blunt, already beginning to die.
Oh, yes.
And suffer other disabling injuries at a rate that seems higher than the normal population, if I might put it clinically.
Yeah. They didn't hide that from us, you know. But when you're 21, you don't think about what's going to happen when you're 50 or 60. You're still trying to, you know, you've got next week's game to consider. But most guys I know have either got some sort of, you know, crippling arthritis. A lot of guys are on crutches. Or Mike Ditka, for instance, has had two hip replacements. You know, and I think, to me, the most interesting part of doing the book was it allowed me to go back and sort of, you know, sink back into that and think about how many risks you willingly took. And you would willingly take them for guys that you didn't necessarily like. It was amazing how quickly, once Sunday got there, all disagreements, all arguments were set aside. And for two and a half hours, you lived as intensely as you would in most of your life.
You in the introduction, you refer to your teammates as, I made a note of this, fascinating, intelligent, cunning, and dangerous men.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's like when somebody gets his back broken out there. They were trying to break his back. They just didn't expect to. I don't know if that makes any sense, you know. I mean, how many times have you heard the phrase, kill him? You know, every now and then they kill one, and they're so shocked. But that's the intensity at which you play. And you can't play any less intensely, because then you'll get hurt.
Inevitably, when the book came out 30 years ago, there were people, not literary critics, who tended to like the book, but there were people in football that distrusted the book because they said that you had, in a sense, sensationalized the grotesque and unglamorous parts.
Huh, I don't know.
That, for example, you had somewhat exaggerated drug use, somewhat exaggerated on-field violence, that sort of stuff.
Well, I don't think I exaggerated drug use. Drug use is...
It'd be hard to make the case 30 years later that you had, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is in the film, we show, in order to make it work in time, in the film we showed Nolte getting his knee injected in the day of the game. Well, that usually doesn't happen. It happens 2 or 3 days before, and I was
Nick Nolte playing the character that's often credited to be, as being you.
Hello, Phil. What is it?
It's knee.
Knee, huh?
Let's have a look.
It's only one.
X marks the spot.
So what?
God damn it, Jesus, it burns. Oh.
Won't feel a
Christ,
thing.
How often do you put the shit in the coach's hearts?
Now, that wasn't bad, was it?
Oh, no, I loved it. It's a brand new knee, Doc. Better football through chemistry, huh?
Our players, generally linemen and defensive backs and defensive linemen, used amphetamines. And I used like painkillers because I'd broken my back. But after the game, the big drug was always alcohol. Then marijuana came along, which saved some of us from being alcoholics. But about 50% of the guys come out of the game in those days as alcoholics. And then cocaine and anabolic steroids came along. Now, anabolic steroids are, they're similar to cortisone. Those are systemic drugs. Yeah. I think several guys are pretty convinced that they gave themselves brain cancer. I'm trying to think of the guy that
Lyle
Alzado, right.
Yeah, yeah. Of the Oakland Raiders.
And I couldn't figure out why guys would use cocaine. It's such a short-term drug. And then I began to realize that what they were doing was they weren't using it before the game. They were using it after the game to avoid that horrible, when the adrenaline stops pumping. But we used to dull that awful drop into depression that comes like about 3 o'clock Monday morning with alcohol. Well, what they were doing was staying high. They were smoothing off that with cocaine. Several guys just destroyed themselves.
After 30 years, can you say to what degree you modeled the characters of North Dallas 40 on the men you played with and BA on Coach Landry?
The idea that you have to hang certain characteristics and stuff on people that you know. There's just no way, or at least for me, there was no way around it. Now, I had lots of coaches besides Tom. Tom was by far the most brilliant, the most impressive, and the one who expected the most, that's what would make you so angry with him, because he was so brilliant and he was so bright. And then he would do these weirdly dumb things. And the thing I noticed with Tom was that near the end of the game, Tom would actually lose track of the game. If it was really close, he'd just begin to panic. And, he would insist on calling the plays right up to the end, and then he'd just freeze up. In the first championship game against Green Bay, he missed one touchdown. He didn't even realize we were within 7 points of Green Bay.
Tom Landry?
He sent in the wrong guy. He sent in the wrong play with the wrong personnel on the goal line. Yes, absolutely.
Speaking as a kid in those years, he was always standing along the sidelines, and the announcers would say, "Oh, old Tom never gives away what's going on in his face, he's following every inch of this game."
Oh no, he was absolutely brilliant. That's what made you get so mad at him, because he was so brilliant.
Can you watch a football game?
Nah, not really. They're not very interesting now. They've taken so much of the game and made it, it's all about big plays. There's no defense. All receivers have to do is run. No, you can't touch them 5 yards down the field.
What is it, Alex Kara said, what are they going to do, put them in skirts next or something?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well play basketball. That's what they've sort of moved it into, is a high-scoring game like basketball. But I'm always impressed by how talented these kids are. But what is, I guess, probably the most disappointing is you very seldom see that talent get any better. And that's a lot of that is built in now, because of the salary problems. What guy who's making $25 million is going to listen to a coach who's making $2 million?
How big a place do your years with the Cowboys, and for that matter, your years writing about that team and trying to artistically make sense of it, how big a part of your life does that occupy now?
I think most of it. Really, most
still.
Of it. It's like a world that nobody can imagine, but as long as the game is there, like I said, I'd do it again. I wouldn't do it anymore, but I'd go back and do it again, yeah.
Mr. Gant, Awfully nice talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Speaking with us from Kalamazoo, Michigan, Peter Gent. His novel, North Dallas 40, has just been reissued as a sport classic book 30 years later.